We're coming to you from South Florida, Aventura, Florida, to be exact. And we're recording a show for City National Bank of Florida. And we're going to be discussing many different aspects that relate to the business world. And we're going to catch up with an expert on GEO, SEO, real estate, packaging, so many different areas. This is one show that could benefit any type of business out there. Enjoy. We're here in Aventura, Florida. Together, I'm co-hosted by Michael McIntyre, Chief Banking Officer at City National Bank. And we're catching up with Gail Lynn Blum, who together with her husband, Ira Blum, they're entrepreneurs that they began their career in the clothing industry decades ago, founding Ahead of Time. They later on opened Tupelo Honey. And now, which operate, you have two branches, one in Aventura, South Miami. Welcome to the show. And I'm going to hand it over to my colleague, Michael McIntyre.
Gail, good morning. It's great to see you.
Good morning.
I think you and I'm going to go out on a limb and say we had a long night last night. Today is Friday, January 9th, where we're recording. And last night there was a game or something. What was on last night?
It was a fantastic game. We were up at the edge of our seats.
University of Miami pulled out their third upset of the college football playoff,
beating
Ole Miss. And now they'll be coming back here to play the final January 19th here at the Hard Rock Center. So it's been a long night for a lot of folks, but I'm so glad and grateful that you made it over here this morning, bright-eyed and bushy-tails. Well, with the win, of course. Gail, I mean, you know, as I do this all the time, the best part of my job is talking to clients. And so I always ask one question to kick off. Tell me about your business. Tell me about your history. What brought you here and how are you so successful?
Well, my husband actually started the business before even the Aventura Mall was built, which is right behind us.
Wow.
We've always been in the jean business, always a cutting edge of which is the newest, hottest line. And we have stayed true to who we are since the 70s.
Wow.
Now, any business that's around for decades faces big decisions. Perhaps you could share a moment where, I'm sure there are many, but something that comes to mind that like, oh man, we're like, ooh, do we go right or left?
Well, you know, over the years, from the gas crisis to 9/11 to COVID, these are all huge things that happened and, you know, for everybody. And there were times we were like, how could we even manage to navigate? And I have to say, it was the community and our loyalty from our customers and our loyalty from business associates that helped us navigate through all those to say to ourselves, we are going to continue.
Very special. Now, obviously, if your customers are that loyal, you're doing something right. Perhaps you could talk about that.
Well, I think we are very true to what we do.
And perhaps, I'm sorry to interrupt,
yeah.
Tupelo Honey.
Oh, yeah.
Describe what the business is all
we
about.
We are a elevated, high-end denim store, men's and women's.
Okay.
We try to always be ahead of the curve with what's the newest trend, the newest manufacturer.
I could use some help in my wardrobe. So if you help me get ahead of the curve, I'd be very grateful for that.
You know, so we try to be ahead of the curve, mm-hmm. and we also try to get out when something is done so we are an elevated denim store.
Now, by the way, Mike McIntyre talks about that all the time. He says that you have to get into something quickly. But if you spot something, like you sometimes say, fail fast.
Fail fast or win fast, yeah.
Win fast or fail fast. Now, it's a kind of a second cousin that Gail is bringing up to that point, and that is, if you're on a trend, ride the trend while it's hot, but you have to be so quick that if you see that the curve is coming, don't hang on for you know, longer, don't overshoot the runway, so to speak. Mike, maybe you could continue on that point.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we were talking about this before. I mean, it's clear to me that that you're in the people business, right? And that you're always looking for that next best thing or the next best trend that you're trying to capture. Tell me about how staying so close to your clients, to your customers, to your people that you work with, your vendors, your trade partners, has made you successful.
Okay, well, for sure. Even in the banking business, it's all about relationships. Yeah. Okay, from the customer to the employees to the vendors. And our customers have been loyal for 40 years, and we've seen them grown. And we've seen their children grow, and we've seen their grandchildren grow.
Wow.
And we give them service. We care about them. They talk about when they come to the store. They show us pictures of their family. We know when their siblings or someone passes. We give them, send cards. So we have a special connection with our customers as well as our vendors, employees.
I always try to tell my bankers stories that I've been covering some families for 10, 20, 30 years, just like you do in your business. And you get to kind of really know them truly well. And you get to give them perhaps recommendations on that next item to pick in their wardrobe and things like that. They come to trust and experience the knowledge that you've brought into the industry for the past 40 years.
Yeah. Also, like, we have a tremendous amount of customers from Toronto. Okay. Mexico, They come to us directly after they get off the plane. Even the New Yorkers and the Chicago people.
With those old empty suitcases,
yeah,
right?
We like that. Yeah.
They go to the suitcase store and they can fill it up, right?
But they want to know what's the jean that we're wearing now. What's the shirt? You know, they want to know. And we have a tremendous following from not just Aventura, South Florida. We have it from, you know.
Right, I'm going to throw you a curveball, okay? Tell me about your jacket and what are you wearing today?
Oh, okay. Well, actually, the jacket is from a vendor called L'Agence. They have been in business for a while. They used to be a brand. They used to own a brand called J Brand. Maybe someone's familiar with that. The shirt is a denim shirt from Frank and Eileen. The jeans are from Mother. So we represent high-end different brands, but we put it together and merchandise it so that it's cohesive.
So you make a shidduch of clothing is what you're telling me here.
Yes.
Leave it to Mike.
Okay. And we don't just sell schmatas, okay?
We're on a roll here.
So,
we are schleppers.
Of course, you're schlepping and making shidduchs. I love it. We're sitting here at the City National Bank branch here in Aventura. And obviously, what I noticed when you walked in, you know, there weren't too many handshakes, there were hugs.
Yes.
And that suggests to me that our team here is doing a good job with you, that they seem to truly have an understanding of whom you are. Tell us about your banking partners and what you look for when you're looking at banks.
Okay, well, I have to say here, first of all, from the tellers to including you, everyone has always been welcoming here and makes you feel like family. And that's what we do on our end at Tupelo Honey. Now, I've had one or two issues and with some fraud that had nothing to do with you guys. Mm-hmm. And the staff here has held my hand, walked us through it, and was there for us. And we have, because of that, have had no problems whatsoever. Also, I might have mentioned to you that there was a time when I banked with someone for many, many years, and they no longer wanted to represent the small business. And that's what this country is small businesses. And we were at a loss and we came here and you guys welcomed us and it's been a great relationship because of that.
You mentioned to me before the fraud issue and we were talking about some of the solutions that we provide both on the AI side. And I think you said you have Positive Pay as well.
We do Positive Pay. Yes. I mean, it's a little consuming. Yep. You have to do it every morning.
Yep.
But it is such a safe and secure way of feeling about doing business every day. So yeah, you guys brought us to that and it's been fantastic.
You know, the spirit of these shows is really to educate the other small businesses that are around us, right? And that you recognize how those small businesses are really the lifeblood, if you will, of our economy. Not too many businesses get around and stay around for 40 years. And so my ask of you in closing is, now, what advice, what recommendations would you give, you know, the younger version of you with perhaps a different wardrobe from 40 years ago? But what would you say to that new person starting off today?
Run? No, just kidding. stay true to who you are. You can't be everything to everybody. If you're in the dress business, stay in the dress business. If it's in the restaurant business, stay what you do in the restaurant business. You can't be something to everybody. And if you stay focused and do what you do best, you'll stay in business.
Gail, I hope it's okay. Actually, I know Mike almost ended it, but I still have another question to get in.
Okay. Sure.
Tupelo Honey has two stores.
Correct.
Walk us through. First of all, what was your first location?
Okay, so Aventura, actually on 163rd Street, like I mentioned before, before the mall was even built, my husband started the store. And in 1996, we decided to open in South Miami because we had such a great little thing going. Mm-hmm. And we opened in 96. And South Miami is quite different than Aventura.
Right.
But listen, South Florida is growing like crazy, you know, on a daily basis. And we have a niche in South Miami as much as we have one here, a little different demographics, but the customer is elevated as well. And they will only also want what's the newest and what's on trend.
But just if I could hold on to this, because it's, you know, when a business is growing and scaling, but yet at the same time, you know, it's so exciting. You have something amazing going in Aventura, but you're like, I see opportunity somewhere else, but I don't want to lose focus of what's going really, really well. What was that like, you know, how many sleepless nights?
Well, you know, I have to be honest. My husband and I make a great team. And our son, Jordan Blum, is also now with us. So he has his eyes more on the South Miami store. We have our eyes more on the Aventura store. But as a group, the three of us have able to keep it going.
Special. Special. I can get in one more question.
One more.
How special is it to have a child in the business?
It really is great. I know there's a lot of families that say, oh my God, you know, father and son or whatever. He has really been an asset to us. Our grandson, his son, is just adorable. And he loves to wear his jeans. He wears his denim tuxedo. And we hope that he actually goes into the business too one day.
Well, let me warn you about that right now. So I've been covering some clients for three generations. And what happens is, you know, they're on your knee for the first couple of years. And then you see them kind of evolve and grow up. And then they come to you and they're early to mid-20s. And they say, oh, I want to borrow a gazillion dollars and do some crazy transaction. And my response is absolutely not. And they keep dripping on me. I said, well, if you don't stop, I'm going to call your father or I'm going to call your grandfather. And then they stop. So just get ready for that.
Well, first of all, I always tell Jordan, you know, give me $1 million and I'll call it even. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I tell him all the time. The other thing is we're trying to explain to him too, that there are tough times at times, if it's COVID, if it's 9/11, and you have to have money saved for those times. You can't, you know, you have to have resources in your business. So we're trying to teach him that as well.
Very special. Gail Lynn Blum, co-owner of Tupelo Honey, thank you for joining us here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you.
We're here in Aventura, Florida at the beautiful offices of City National Bank. And we're speaking with a variety of entrepreneurs and business owners that know how to get things done, know how to build businesses. And now we're catching up with Michael Avetbol and Michael Salvaggio, co-founders of SEO Brand Corporation. Thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you for having us.
So who's going to jump in? Tell us a little bit about SEO Brand.
Sure. So SEO Brand is an AI-powered search marketing agency. We specialize in lead generation for enterprise businesses, small, medium-sized businesses, really, depending on what the situation is. We look at businesses and try to figure out how to grow their overall client footprint.
Okay. Michael?
Same path. We've been doing this for the last 20 years. We've built this agency from scratch when internet marketing wasn't even the thing. So we saw it evolved and adapted the last 20 years. Now we're talking more about AI. We're talking about new technologies.
Now, this is amazing because here you're talking about an agency. It's around 20 years and you're in an industry that moves, I'm going to say, you know, almost like at the speed of light. right? I mean, it moves very fast.
Yep.
Very fast. So you started maybe first you were helping with AOL or who knows.
I mean, it kind of stretches back to that, to the days of like Lyco search engines and AltaVista. Okay. That's kind of like where the journey started. So by then it was search engine optimization when most people in businesses didn't even know what that term meant.
Right.
Right. So we were one of the first in the space.
And now you went from SEO, GEO, you're in that all space, AI.
Correct.
Even talk about the last, I mean, now we're in the beginning of 2026. Talk about even how fast 2025 flew by in terms of your work.
The business has totally been flipped on its head. So with traditional search, you were really fighting over 10 positions on the front page of Google, where now everybody's fighting over three or four slots to get included in a ChatGPT readout or a Perplexity readout. So the business has definitely changed. The core business remains the same. It's fundamental lead generation for SMBs. But at the end of the day, you're just really competing over a different window where that information is actually shown.
Now I'm going to hand it over to my colleague, Michael McIntyre, City National Bank of Florida, Chief Banking Officer.
We're with the co-founders of SEO Brand. And I always ask my tech clients this question. What is that one inflection point in your business? I mean, you've basically gone from dial-up to high-speed to Wi-Fi in your business. What was that one inflection point, decision, opportunity, challenge, event that you had to take to put your business at next level?
That's indeed a tough question, because there's multiple inflection points over the span of 20 years. That's definitely something to think about. But in terms of one,
or if you have a couple that are key moments,
I would say our partnership is probably the biggest inflection point, and it happened organically. So it's not like we
partnership with Michael.
Correct. So it's not like we just came to some sort of a revelation. We just realized that in order for us to stay afloat of an adapting industry that moves very, very fast, we had to be able to pivot. We had to be able to run a lean business as to where we can adapt based on what the next technology is, because every couple of years, there's a seismic shift in the business. So us and having that rock solid partnership allowed us to be flexible
that. It's a teamwork. I mean, from the starting point till the end, till now, I mean, we're still texting at 12 midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning on this business that we opened 20 years ago. Turning point, I mean, we had tons of turning points. I mean, you know, hiring a lot of good talents, understanding who you're hiring, understanding your client, putting a lot of time on your clients instead of going and getting more businesses, being long-term, having this mindset of always being long-term. This is not a business where you take a client and you make money with a client. No, this is a business where you grow with a client. You have to prove yourself. You have to prove who you are in order to keep the business, in order to keep the revenue. And this is the biggest challenging point on our business.
To touch a little bit further on that, our business is really dominated by growing top line revenue so you can go and flip to a private equity company. Yeah. That has never been our focus. The digital marketing agency is just foot on the gas, grab as many clients as you can, and then flip to a private equity company. And then you know what gets lost in the middle of that? The team members and the clients. They are never even mentioned in that equation. So we took the opposite route. So we want to talk about inflection point. Inflection was, let's just focus on the client. Let's deliver the maximum amount of value for the client, and everything will work itself out. It hasn't always been that way from a P&L perspective, specifically from a profitability perspective, but what it did was allowed us to build relationships with clients that span over 10 years. We don't churn and burn clients. We keep them, we grab them, we bolt onto their company like an extension of their marketing, and then we try to become irreplaceable.
I want to come back to partnership because that resonated with me in a lot of ways. You know, we are here to truly try to help that next generation of small business owner, right? That next generation of those UM grads we were talking about earlier before, right? When going into business, what are the things that you guys thought about to really form that partnership? What were the things you discussed? What were some of the concerns that you had? What made you guys decide to start trust? Talk about that.
Trust is I mean, a partnership is exactly like getting married, right? So love in first sight.
Does he know what a shidduch is? Does he know what a shidduch is?
Yeah, right, I'm well versed.
Good man.
Yeah, so you know, it's just the profile. I mean, you know, we got together in the beginning, and we felt it, and till now, thank God, with the help of God, we've achieved a lot of things. But yeah, trust is a big thing, because you don't want to be partnered with somebody that you don't,
you partner with yourselves, of course, and then obviously you partner with third parties. Perhaps you could talk about how you chose your banking partner.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we've also surrounded ourselves with people that have high levels of integrity and trust. And that was one of the reasons why that we went with the bank that we went with. We went with Felipe Rodriguez. I mean, the banking relationship for us provided us, all types of things that perhaps we weren't really sure was possible. And with City National, it's just been, it's probably one of the best decisions that we've made, because we had personal experience. I mean, with a banker that we've never had before. Like, we were just transactional with Bank of America. Not the bank, nothing's wrong with a transactional relationship with a bank. But when you have a true financial partner that could guide you through a black swan event like COVID, with all the PPP stuff that was happening over the last couple of years, and providing liquidity for real estate projects and expansion and growing of the business when we needed operating capital, we got to a point where we bootstrapped it and got to that point where we just needed it. And City was there, and it's been an invaluable resource. So yeah, trust with your business partner, but also from the partners and the vendors and the service providers that you surround yourself with.
We're speaking to the co-founders this afternoon of the SEO Brand Corp. Gentlemen, as we close this out, again, thank you for your time today. We had a big victory last night with the U coming back home now to play in that championship game. You talk about all these different industries that are changing at such a grand speed, grand pace. As you think about advice that you would give to those UM kids that are, I think probably still sleeping right now, or perhaps, recovering from last night, what would you tell that population?
I mean, I could think of a couple of things to say, but what I would say, in a day where you can press a button and get instant gratification, I think kids have become conditioned to think that everything happens very, very fast. Our story shows the complete opposite. Good things take time to build. I mean, we're celebrating our 20th year. Just a little bit more patience, things will happen for you.
Having kids in college right now, I could write you a book on what you said. I mean, I have so many, and that's the part of our conversation every Friday night at a dinner. They have to work. Like you said, nothing is easy. They think that everything's easy,
yes,
right? Social marketing, everything. Everybody's making money in 2 seconds, right? It's completely the opposite. And having failures is great. I want to have my kids to have failures in order to understand, what it takes to arrive to your goals, right? Which is not easy. So they have to work, and if they could, go back to the old school mentality, it would be good for them. Taking our examples, listening to us, what we did, instead of going like you said, clicking on the button. And this is the challenging part on our life is to
navigate this. Exactly. To navigate this, yeah, it's not easy.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time today.
Of course. Thank you. Thanks for having
Thanks.
Us.
Thanks.
We're here at the beautiful offices of City National Bank in Aventura, Florida. And a special thank you to Mike McIntyre, Chief Banking Officer, who always brings to the table for Mind Your Business many exciting, unique guests. Now, this one is rather unique. The mayor of Miami Beach, Mayor Steve Miner. Mayor Miner, thank you for joining us here on Mind Your Business.
Morning. It's great to be here.
So how do you get it into your schedule? How do you manage to juggle? You got to go to this one and to that one and to this event. And then you get in a radio interview, a show, a podcast. How do you manage to juggle everything?
It is all day long. But when you love it, it's kind of just, you just go and you hope you make it on time. But
now, if I may, and of course, Mike McIntyre is going to join me in interviewing the mayor. First, talk a little bit about your background. You were in the private sector, and then you decided to get into public service. Talk about that.
Yeah, I'm a lawyer. I'm still actually a practicing lawyer, and worked at a couple large firms in New York City and litigation. Went to the SEC. enforcement. And then I'm actually in the private fund, hedge fund world now. But I was in my mid-40s. If you told me about 8-9 years ago that I'd be mayor of Miami Beach, I would have said you're absolutely out of your mind. It wasn't even on my radar. And it just shows you how life can change. And we can get into the reasons. But yeah, I love it. I'm happy I did it.
Public service.
It's the best feeling. I know it sounds cheesy, but it really is the best feeling. And there are people who stop me all the time on the street because there's the big legislation that I've done, and we can get into that too. Was, you know, ending spring break chaos, and really our city has become much safer. But it's the little things too. People stop me on the street all the time. Mayor, you help me with this thing, and it's like it's something that I forget about because it's every day, all day long. But to them, to that person, it was very meaningful in their life.
Mike McIntyre.
You know, Mayor, you and I had the chance to meet a few weeks back when I joined the Chamber of Commerce in Miami Beach. And we talked for a few moments. And, you know, as a new member of the chamber, you know, my perception of Miami Beach was just that, which was just the beach, right? But I'm learning each month at the meetings how many medium and small businesses are actually in that community supporting tourism, supporting other industries. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, we have obviously some large businesses, but really we're made up of medium, small business, a lot of mom and pop stores, as you say it. And we've every economy goes through cycles, our city goes through cycles, but we're really on an upswing in a big way. And some stats to show, but these are the big stats, but it also trickles down to everyone. Our hotel room rate, for example, in for New Year's Eve, the number one in the world. Not just America, but in the world. I'm waiting for the latest data, but we're the number one hotel room rate for the first 6 months of the year in Miami Beach. Mila's had the highest grossing revenue. That's one restaurant, and it's a great restaurant, from what I. It trickles down. Businesses are doing really well. I actually started a new thing going around to different businesses and trying to give them some exposure on my social media account. And I'm hearing over and over, we're going to the businesses. They're like, we're doing great. The city is really booming.
Well, you talked about supporting your small businesses and your medium-sized businesses, and obviously you're trying to attract new enterprises to come into Miami Beach. How much migration are you seeing coming from the Northeast of late?
We're seeing a lot from New York. We're seeing also from California now. We have the billionaires tax that's on the pike. I actually was talking to a real estate agent recently, and she told me, actually, I have more clients. She said she's never been busier, but also more clients coming from California than New York. That actually surprised me. I don't know if that's the overall trend, but certainly we're seeing the migration. And we as a city also need to adapt. For example, I've led the initiative, but my colleagues on the commission, there's seven of us total, are really pushing that our city make it very simple, very easy to open businesses in Miami Beach. So much so that I called a special commission meeting at the end of next month to make sure that we do that. There's nothing more important right now than make sure businesses want to come here, they can open quickly.
You're doing some other enhancements to really facilitate transportation around the beach. I mean, you got water all around you. Talk about some of the other things you're doing on the ferry side.
Yeah, I've been working several years on bringing a water taxi system to Miami Beach, a free water taxi system.
Wow.
And, you know, we've had in the past some versions of it, but it's always been very expensive, $20, $30. Nobody's going to do it. And so we're rolling it out actually January 20th. We've had this version during Art Basel. It has been an incredible success. People are really excited about it. I can see your reactions.
It's like wild.
Yeah, every time I mention this in meetings, I mentioned it last night in a neighborhood association meeting, over 100 people started clapping. It's a big win for our city. Right now, it's going to be going from Miami Beach to Miami. I'm looking to enhance services. My ultimate goal, and it's going to require some funding, but we're working on it, is to go north and south throughout Miami Beach. There's so much excitement. So you can literally go throughout, traverse the entire Miami Beach with a water taxi. It's so exciting that even neighboring cities have started reaching out to me and say, hey, we want to be part of this too. Maybe if you get it north and south, you can even go further north.
Well, I make this joke that you have parking, you have double parking, you have borough parking, and then you have Miami Beach parking, because I can tell you the traffic sometimes is pretty hard to get through. And so I hope that this ferry is successful, because yes, obviously, you know, getting people to their destinations and getting to dinners on time, or as we say here in South Florida, Miami time,
yes,
right, is very important. Mayor, as you think about you know, the ongoing evolution of small businesses, right? You're hearing more and more about technology enhancements, right? We had a very big football game last night where the U is coming home now to play in the college championship. And what we're seeing here is, you know, new entrepreneurs at places like the U, right? New incubators that are being supported by chambers of commerce. How do you intend, or how do you expect government to support those new startups under your term?
Yeah, so incentivizing businesses. We do have a small business grant program, for example. So doing that, we try to highlight I mentioned a program that I'm starting sort of my social media, but our city tries to highlight these businesses. We're offering also a concierge service within our city to help our businesses navigate sometimes what can seem to be complex rules. We're trying to really simplify it and get businesses open. Luckily, I mean, you should see it. Our city in the last month, I've had tourists, but of people who live here, they've never seen the city busier. You walk down Lincoln Road and other parts of our city, we're really busy. We had a small business open recently, a yogurt place, Mika. They have 19, I see nods, they have 19 franchises. The owner told me they've never had anything like this. When they opened a month ago, they said, we had already expanded hours of operations, hire more workers. The line is literally out the door.
This came up at the chamber meeting earlier in the week. You know, the City National Bank can trace its roots back to Miami Beach. It was founded by the Abbas family, which were a historically Jewish family that came down to Miami Beach, you know, nearly 100 years ago. And I know you're doing some work with Israel as well. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. First, our city is stand strong with Israel and also the fight against anti-Semitism, which has exploded. But in the private sector, I do have most of us in elected positions in these city governments have other jobs. I'm a practicing attorney and I work with a private fund, essentially a hedge fund. It's called the Resilience Fund, relating to Israeli agriculture. So it's great. We're working with government officials in Israel, with farmers. And really the purpose of it is Israel needs to be self-secure, certainly with food. We saw a country like Turkey actually stopped exporting food to Israel during after October 7th and during the war in Gaza. So it's very important. Every country really needs to be in Israel right now is not food secure. So this fund actually is looking, that's the goal of the fund, besides obviously earning a potential for investors. So we're very excited about it.
If I may, just before we let you go, talk about, you built a great career in the private sector, and then you decided, I'm going to become a public servant. It's very special. Talk about that.
It is. It's one of the best decisions I made in life. And sometimes my friends joke at me, "Ooh, you crazy? Did you hit your head?" But it started small. It wasn't like I woke up one day and said, I want to become the mayor of Miami Beach. It actually was in my area. I wanted more policing. More police presence and more lighting. Really a safety issue, economic growth issue. And it started small. I just started going to some meetings, started reaching out to the commissioners at the time, and I couldn't get anything done. And it was very frustrating. I'm a very persistent. I'm a very persistent person. And when I want to get something done, I don't stop. And I literally, I didn't stop. So much so that I ran for office. And guess what? I got the more policing. I got the lighting. And not just for where the area I was living in. That was my initial goal for all of Miami Beach. And so I'm very, very proud of that.
Mike, any final thoughts?
Oh, it's an honor to have you here today. We have a branch, obviously, in your territory in Miami Beach. And on behalf of the bank, thanks for your time today.
No, absolutely. Thank you both. And thanks for being a part and a partner in Miami Beach with us.
Mayor Minor, Chazak Baruch.
Amen. Chazak Baruch.
And now, from the location of Aventura, Florida, City National Bank, we're going to speak with Hernan Leonov, real estate investor and principal at the MG3 Group. Hernan, thank you for joining us here on Miami
Business. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, let's just talk about your story, right? Anyone who's involved in anything that they do to make a living and that they're passionate about, there's a story behind it. Please.
There is a story. So I'm Argentinian. You can notice by my accent. We came here 25 years ago. So I grew up in Argentina, and my family business was always in the vision care world. Mm-hmm. Optical stores, mm-hmm. Distribution. Spectacle lenses. That was my world when I was growing up. For me, there was no vacation time. For me, vacation time meant to go to work to the stores and either do inventory or find something else to do. By the age of 15 and 16, I was touring factories in Italy or China. And then we grew the business locally. I got married. And we had our first daughter in Argentina. And there was a turmoil in which there was 1 week that we had five presidents in 2021. That's when my wife got a little scared and we decided to change gears and move to America. So we settled here in Aventura. And I started doing some vision care business related to the industry, and I started investing in real estate projects with some friends. And in one of these projects that I was investing, we ended up being an LP with Lehman Brothers in 2007, which at that time was one of the greatest partners you could find. And one of the tenants in this property that we have been acquiring ended up being a charter school. At that time, I had no idea what a charter school was. And then 2008, 2009 came the crash. Lehman Brothers was a partner and also was a lender. So they ended up foreclosing and keeping the property. One of the, as I said, one of the tenants in this property was a charter school. Mm-hmm. And after meeting the people for a few times, then they expressed their need of a new facility somewhere in Palm Beach County. Okay. So after learning what a charter school was, then we started finding property and ended up building our first charter school in 2009, 2010. Fast forward, we became the largest developer for charter schools in the state.
Wow.
We've done over 50 charter schools in most of the counties from in cities from Homestead all the way north to Jacksonville. And that's been our main industry that we've been growing things 2009 all the way until 2022, 23.
You know, it's fascinating. So many businesses, they learned how to turn a problem into a solution. Here you took something which could have been back going back to 07, 08, which was like the world is crashing in. And yet that turned out to be the recipe for your greatest success.
Thank God. Basically, we find this opportunity, which was a completely niche market, and ended up growing it. And that was, the biggest engine that we had in our company. We're three partners. My two partners are also Argentinian. Well, one of them comes from the textile world and the other one is coming from construction. But so we all like kind of merge into a diverse, abilities.
Amazing. I'm going to hand it over. Mike McIntyre.
And Nan, we hear a lot that we were talking to another partnership before you arrived today. What made you decide to partner with those two individuals? What were the characteristics or the qualities that you were looking for that made you comfortable enough to take the risk to partner together?
Basically, Marcelo and Gustavo are the name of my partners. And I'm friends since childhood with Marcelo's brother. And then Marcelo and Gustavo, they went to school together. So we know each other, for the last 30 years. And we've never had any argument amongst our partnership. I think that one of the key elements of our growth is the relationship amongst the three of us. And when we have to talk to banks or to any group, basically you identify, or brokers, but when they have to award a deal, is that usually now it comes down to, when they deal with other institutional buyers, they go through one committee and another committee, and nobody feels that they're dealing with decision makers. And basically the three of us make decisions, sitting in one table, and thank God we had no arguments.
So you're currently structured as a REIT, correct? Mm-hmm. For the average viewer, can you explain what a REIT is?
A REIT is a real estate fund, which, the only thing that REIT is a tax classification amongst the tax code. But regardless of how it's taxable, it's a group of investors that own shares amongst a fund of properties. And our REIT is private. There are other real estate funds that are publicly traded, but there's no much difference amongst the REIT and the real estate fund. It's just a taxable code.
It's a vehicle.
It's a vehicle.
So in theory, a REIT could have three or four different properties that are totally different from each other, but are available to the shareholders or to the members of the party.
Yeah, I mean, basically, they need to have a certain size in order to be viable. And you need certain regulations. So a small REIT, the cost end up being a burden to the investors.
So, you know, we discussed essentially three or four inflection points over the last 25 years, which really drove your business to where it is today. And obviously not every opportunity that you come across is the right one. How do you manage the risk of determining where to make your future investments?
I mean, I used to say that in 2010 or 11, in order to do a good deal, you could be a butcher, and anything you would buy with the world. I think that today you need to be a microsurgeon in order to find a deal. I think that the good deals today have major exposure. So whenever some buyers identify a good deal, they all chase it, and you really need to make a big difference in order to acquire it. And going through buyer interviews or hard money deposits, or it's really getting competitive when there is a good deal. There's no such thing as good off-market deals. I think they're usually just that's like a brand that makes it more appealing, but there's no such thing. I think that it all goes down to self-discipline. I think that many times when people is dealing not with their own money, they treat it with less amount of care, which is it's at the end of the day not good. And I always say that the Excel can reflect whatever you want, and it goes down to self-discipline in protecting the assets.
So when you're doing a transaction, obviously having good partners around you, whether it be your bank, hopefully City National is doing a good job for you, but obviously you have your other third party partners as well. What do you look for when you're looking for bringing in third party help, whether it be a financial services provider, an insurance company, a law firm? What do you look for?
Basically, what I do is I usually will use all the resources that I have in any transaction that I go in. For example, you have a banker like City National. Basically, I use the officers that have different experience in different counties, and I ask all these questions. I mean, about even doing my research, or I do it with any of the professionals that surround me. I usually don't understand when people can have the ability of pulling a deal in Kentucky when they never been there. Nothing against Kentucky, or maybe that they do deals nationwide when they have very little understanding of the depth. So obviously for me, it's always been a key to finding the right partners that basically help me in doing a smart move in my business.
So I have two questions before I turn it back over to Yitzhak. The first one is going to be much more of a more fun question. Then the next one will be really more about advice. We're sitting here in South Florida, January 9th, and there was this small football game on TV last night between the University of Miami and Ole Miss. And in kind of discussing it with you before, you had some reactions to that. Tell me about the game.
I think that reflects the diversity of immigrants. Basically, I'm Argentinian. For me, football is soccer. I don't know the rules of football. I had no idea that yesterday was a match. So I really don't know what to answer in that regard.
But you know the outcome, that the U won.
I know that a friend of mine told me today that it's the first time in history that the host is going to be playing in the same stadium, correct, something like that.
So the University of Miami will be playing the championship game on January 19th down in Hard Rock.
Right? Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's it's a pretty big day down here. Speaking about the U, City National Bank is a proud sponsor of the University of Miami, and believe it or not, I've had several of the athletes from the team reach out to me about internships and opportunities and looking for advice. As we kind of close out this conversation, I want to thank you for your time today. What advice would you have to somebody that wants to start up in investing in real estate?
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, there's a rush in the younger generations of making a big difference on the early stages of learning a career and going all in, and many times somehow using trust. And my history is that we've always been growing slowly. We've always applied full discipline in our decisions. We've been tempted many times to go out of state to start doing business. We've never done a transaction outside of Florida. And all this discipline somehow transpires to your partners, to your banking relationships, to anybody that surrounds you. And I think that the there's a big amount of intermediary parties in transactions that end up making the transaction not viable. And there's a moment in which self-discipline has to kick in, and you got to pull the plug and you got to be cold. And it doesn't matter, because the people around you are going to value your self-discipline in avoiding a mistake.
Hernan, if I may, just before we close this out, a little similar to what you're talking about, but perhaps you could share a tip from your life of experience. And you have your very interesting multidimensional approach, because again, you're from Argentina, you did work in Italy, and now you're in Florida. What is an advice you can give to someone that where you can they could balance the outlook between day-to-day responsibilities and still keeping your eye on a prize, which could sometimes take years to accomplish?
I can tell you our latest transaction that we did. We bought the distribution center for CBS in Orlando. It's right next, 2 minutes from the Epic new park in Orlando. We identified this property. We bought a property that carries a lease that started in 1975 when it was Eckerd Stores. And basically, inflation played a role in affecting the value of the property in a very negative way. And sometimes the players that could buy these type of properties are looking for an immediate return on their money. And this was a property that, as I said, started in 1975 on a lease, and we're coming to the end of the lease in 6 years from now. So we bought this property, and basically we won't see any cash flow or barely any cash flow for the next 6 years.
Wow.
Okay. But we know that in 6 years, this is the last renewal that they had, and then it goes to fair market price, or we're going to find the opportunity there. So in order to make a decision today, unfortunately, an investor will have to think that they're not going to check all the boxes. They're not going to have the great property with a great return with all. You got to see what you prioritize and your horizon, where you want to set it.
Hernan, thank you so much for joining us here on Mind Your Business, real estate investor and principal at the MG3 Group. Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you.
And now we're catching up with Felipe Sixto from Sixto Packaging. Just a little bit about the company. It's a family-owned manufacturing and distribution business established in 1978, actually a little bit before that. But the company specializes in flexible and laminated packaging for a wide range of industries, including food, medical supplies, consumer goods. Thank you so much, Felipe, for joining us here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with the story. You discussed your family. Your grandfather was in this business?
Yeah, my grandfather and grandmother actually founded the business. But you have to go way back to Cuba to understand.
Because I want to mention, anytime we have the opportunity to talk with someone that's in a business for many decades, there's a certain respect and aspect that just, because you live in a day and age, I want to make $1 million overnight, but it takes decades. And especially when it gets, transcends down from a family generation, please share that with the listeners.
Absolutely. So the story actually begins in Cuba. That's where my family's from. And my grandparents there had a pasta factory, the largest on the island. My grandfather had amazing extrusion equipment that he flew to Italy to the World's Fair in the late 40s and early 50s. Like many here in South Florida, once the government changed in Cuba, everything was confiscated and the family had to move over to Miami and start from scratch. He knew the food business, the pasta business, and he tried starting the business here in Miami. Unfortunately, that market was pretty well cornered, especially in the Northeast, and he had to go bankrupt. He owed money to the person that was making his paper bags and his cellophane bags at that time. And being a man of honor in his words, he said, "Oh, I'm going to go work off the debt." And that's exactly what he did. Wow. He took some time, worked off all the debt, and eventually purchased all the equipment. And that's how Sixto Packaging was born, out of a garage.
That's special. I mean, that's a moment right there. Talk about a man of honor, like not just to walk away and like.
You know, Sixto, we've been talking to various guests today about partnerships, right? And how important it is to pick the right partner. And the word that we keep hearing, you know, over and over is trust. But I think in your example here, it's honor, right? You work with honorable people and you build a successful business. You know, we were talking before we went live here. You're essentially an international business. I mean, you're doing work here in Florida, but you're also manufacturing and exporting into the United States. Talk about that.
Correct. So we have our headquarters and our main plant is here in Miami, where we're doing a lot of value-added packaging for coffee, for fresh produce, basically any commodities, industrial, pet foods. And then out of Mexico City, we have a plant as well. We partnered up, did a joint venture with a company down there, and we're producing a lot of Wicked bags, stand-up pouches out of there. That allowed us to really expand on the West Coast of the United States and the Midwest, where, you know, freight was going to make it very difficult to ship out of South Florida, and it expanded our capabilities significantly. And then just recently this year, we opened up another facility in Miami for digital short run packaging. So there, instead of conventional flexo printing, you go completely digital with brand new an HP 200K, actually the first in the Southeast installed, the first in Florida. With special embellishments and all of that. And that plan is really for nutraceuticals, cannabis, and other high-end markets.
I'm gonna go off script here for a second. You know, you tell me that you're in the packaging business, right? But if I'm listening and hearing you right, it sounds like you're also in the technology business.
Absolutely. I mean, people don't understand what goes into a bag of potato chips or coffee. I mean, you're a chemist because you're dealing with inks and mixing different chemicals. You're an engineer, a physical. You're a graphic artist because, you know, that packaging, you have a split second to gain the consumer's attention in the supermarket store. So you're touching on a lot of them. Plus, you have to be a businessman, a financial attorney. You have to be everything to run a successful business. Flexible packaging is all about technology. It's all about capital expenditures of equipment because that equipment.
Keeps, I'm going to come to that next. Don't
on.
Worry.
And the most important part and what will be a theme on a lot of things I definitely want to talk about is it's about your people. And that is crucial to who we are and the way we run our business.
We've heard today how important honor and trust is in selecting partners. We've heard how important it is to have, you know, strong third-party vendor relationships, whether it be with your suppliers, you know, your bankers, your professional services. But we've also heard about a business owner, and just listening to you right now, it sounds to me that you're not just wearing multiple hats. You're wearing hats and gloves and design and glasses and everything else like that. I'd love to understand, you know, about, you know, your family owned, you know, your multi-generational. How do you maintain that continuity? How do you, you know, I think we were talking about, you were able to find online some of the legacy formation documents for talk to me about that, but then also talk about that's intrinsic value, right? It's a value to you, to your family. How do you push that down to that next generation? Because the reason why I bring that up is, you know, I'm on my third generation of clients now, and sometimes I'll talk to the younger generation. They're more ambitious, and they'll come to me with some crazy ideas or thoughts, and I'll say, well, maybe not yet. And they keep persisting. So, well, if you don't stop talking about it, I'm going to talk to your father or your grandfather, and they calm down. How do you balance all that?
Well, I like to say we're a, you know, a 21st century company with traditional old fashioned values because we run our business like a family. I mean, I remember as a young boy, I would go in there. I was, you know, in elementary school, I'd go and jump in the garbage and squish it down and do things like that. Then in high school, on the summer breaks, I'd go and start running machines. And I was there with my grandmother. By that time, my grandfather had passed, with my grandmother, who worked every day until 90. She was there really being a mentor to all of us, my father, my uncles. You know, fast forward down the line, my son, when he was 7, 8 years old, he would come in and go doing the same thing. Well, you know, he went into the military. He served his time. Then he went to Clemson, got a packaging engineering degree, and now he's our night shift plant manager. So he's really learning and growing into the business. So just like I was groomed, and of course I had a different set of skills. We've been able to groom him with his set of skills to bring new ideas, new blood into the business. And that's something that just keeps repeating itself. Right now I probably have 8 or 10 nephews, plus I have 2 younger sons. They're still a little too young to get in the business. But our plan is, you know, try and find what they're good at. Are they accountants? Are they bankers? What are they going to be? Because as you know, multinational company requires all sets of skills.
Are they petrochemical engineers that can design HP? HP device you're mentioning, right?
It could be.
Let's talk about you talk about all of this capital investment, right? And obviously that gets structured through traditional financing or debt financing. How do you fund your business and how do you work with your bank providers?
So we've been with City National Bank for many, many years. We value the relationship and the trust. I could speak very clearly to about 10 years ago, maybe a little longer, 15 years ago, we were going to undergo a major expansion. That's when I joined the business full time. And, you know, I did an analysis and I came up to my uncle and my father and said, listen, we really should do this and this and this. And it required significant capital. I mean, moving facilities to a much larger facility, purchasing equipment. I mean, probably $10, $12 million worth of equipment to really get started. And at that point, we were working with different name, but still City National Bank, still the same people we work with today. And we brought a business plan to them, and the financials and the spreadsheets perhaps didn't make as much sense as the vision documents. And the reason we're sitting here today, the reason we've been able to grow as much, is because in that meeting, that banker had the faith and saw through the numbers, and we were able to get the financing we needed from you guys.
You know, we've spoken to a very diverse group of clients today, whether it be manufacturing companies and design companies. I'm going to call you an IT company today. But one of the things that that we're all celebrating today here in South Florida is the big win last night from the U, right? And you know, they're going to be playing in the championship game. It'll be the first time the host city is hosting their own university. And you know, I've had several of the players reach out to me during the season looking for advice and insights on their own careers. And I keep saying to them, go win some more games and we'll talk in February. And it looks like, you know, this is going to probably wind up happening. We'll talk to most of these kids in February. But I mean, a multi-generational business like yourself, the evolution of your industry, the new things that you're going into, what advice can you offer that next generation, the children that you have or the children behind those folks, as to what they should be thinking about when they're entering into their own desires to start a business?
Well, for me, the most important part of any business is those partnerships that you create, the relationships that allow you to move forward, whether it's customers, because when I'm out there selling, when I'm out there trying to acquire a new customer, I make sure and tell them, listen, we don't see you as just another customer. We don't want to be just another vendor. We want to be your strategic partner. When things happen, we're going to be there to support you. We expect the same from our suppliers, from our bankers, from our employees. So really, it's build those relationships, listen to your people, listen to to all of them, and get that feedback. That's basically it.
If I may, Felipe, just to come back, because it's such a special point about a business that's you know, staying in the family. It went from your grandparents, your parents, yourself. Now you have children in it. What's a tip that you could share for people out there? And again, there are many businesses out there that are thinking, like, hey, you know, at some point we're going to hand it down to the children. What are some tips and techniques that you can
share? Or learnings. Yeah. I mean, you also have, as I'm learning about your business, it's not just, you know, one branch of the family tree. It's several branches and cousins, right, and uncles, yeah, and tios and tias, yeah, and the whole thing. So
we have probably 8 or 10 people in the family right now in the business. Whether it's, you know, my cousin who's our plant manager in the day, my other cousin who he's a firefighter, is his day job, and then he comes and he does all of our local deliveries, you know. So we have different people doing different things. We have a couple of young nephews who are in college now, 18, 19 years old, and they come. They work 2 days a week, 3 days a week, 100 days off. Sometimes we have them sweeping the floor. Sometimes we have them, you know, packing or starting to learn.
Now, by the way, that's a great computers. Point because family cares. So when you say sweeping the floor, so maybe you could even talk about the dynamic of the, you know, the challenges a family has and the opportunities.
Well, one thing we don't believe in is, you know, nepotism. We don't want to just, oh, you're the son or daughter of the owner and you're just in automatically. No. The way I did it and the way my father had me do it is go out in the real world and get an education, get a job, understand, and then bring value back to the company. Because that's what it's about. It's not about just having a handout and we owe it to you because you're blood. No, you're blood and you'll be taken care of. But if you want to join the company, if you want to add value to the company, you have to bring value. And that's what I did with my son. You know, he was able to, you know, served in the army. You know, he did his 6 years. So he learned plenty of skills there, skills that he's implementing right now. Because again, being a family-owned company, one of the challenges we've had is going from semi-mom-and-pop operation, although maybe not in scale, but in mentality. You know, I brought in new blood. My value is networking and sales, not organization. My son, being a military guy, it's all SOPs and, you know, strict controls.
Right, right.
So he's been bringing in real ideas and implementing new procedures to really organize this, which takes us to the next level, because for the longest time, there was always a Sixto in the building, whether it was my father, my uncle, my grandfather, you know, there had to be somebody there because we can't run this business without somebody. Well, as you grow and you scale, that becomes more challenging. And the only way to mitigate the risk of not having somebody and really looking after it is create those procedures. So I like to say to our employees, we're not printing a job. We're not running a job. We're running procedures. Every job should go through the same set of steps. So.
Mike, when it closes, that is fantastic.
This has probably been one of the most insightful conversations that I've had with one of our clients today. And so on behalf of the bank, I want to thank you. In closing, what's ahead? What's your next great idea?
Well, just last year we invested, like I said, quite a bit on the digital side. We put in a very large $3 million printing press January of last year. 2025, it was all about learning how to use it and getting all the bugs out. 2026 is scaling, growing. We're looking to double or triple our business by 2030, bringing more jobs to South Florida. So, you know, we're going to rely on our partners like City National Bank to make sure we can do that.
SEO, GEO, real estate, packaging, IT. How do you package up so many different industries into a show? Well, that's what we accomplished on this edition of Mind Your Business. Please feel free to share your comments in the comments section below. Special thank you to City National Bank. And we recorded this in Aventura, Florida. And looking forward to a future edition, catching you again on Mind Your Business.